Good morning, everyone. If this is your first time here, my name's Alan. I'm one of the ministers here. We're going to be having a look together at that reading from Matthew. So the Bible's in the pew in front of you if you want to follow along. Now, things are not as they should be at Christmas, are they? I think if you asked our welcoming team this morning as we were trying to get the printer to print and trying to log into the computer and all that sort of thing, you would know that things were not as they should be. The last few Christmases have not been quite right. This Christmas feels nearly normal, but I don't know, it felt like more of an effort this time around. I don't know if you felt that. It certainly did feel like that for me. For some people, this Christmas, things are not as they should be because there's someone missing. The Queen will not be making a Queen's Christmas message this year. Last year, she had that photo of her husband on her desk because she was missing someone. For many of us at Christmas, even as we're trying to be happy and trying to be joyful together at the meal, there'll be someone missing and it's like a piece of our heart's gone. Things are not as they should be. And perhaps our Christmas meal is always an effort. Perhaps along with the pudding and the ham, maybe for you there are uncomfortable silences and awkward pauses when you kind of have to work around old hurts. Maybe there are unspoken regrets. Things are not as they should be at Christmas. Now the thing is that at this very first Christmas, at the birth of Jesus, things were not as they should be for Joseph. Did you notice that? He was also not having a great week in the lead up to Christmas. What is he going to call this baby? This is how the birth of Jesus Christ came about. His mother Mary was pledged to be married to Joseph, but before they came together, she was found to be with child through the Holy Spirit. Because Joseph, her husband, was a righteous man and did not want to expose her to public disgrace, he had in mind to divorce her quietly. So, they're engaged, they're going to be married, they haven't come together yet, but she's pregnant. Now, Joseph didn't know the full story, but I'm sure he knows words for this sort of situation. I'm sure he knows what to call a baby like this. What is he going to do? Well, even though this is painful for him, even though I'm sure he was grieving lost hopes, the things that he'd hoped this marriage was going to mean to him had been dashed, apparently, he was righteous. He wasn't just well-behaved and proper, but he was actually a good man who wanted to be good and to do good. And so he was thinking, he had in mind, how can I be kind and gentle to this fiancée who's done him wrong? But after he'd considered this, an angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream and said, "Joseph, son of David, do not be afraid to take Mary home as your wife, because what is conceived in her is from the Holy Spirit. She will give birth to a son, and you're to give him the name Jesus, because he will save his people from their sins." So that's the second time that we're told that this child is from the Holy Spirit. We already knew, and now we get to see Joseph hearing from the angel. This child is from the Holy Spirit. Mary's not a sinner. Far from it. Actually, she's been blessed by God. This pregnancy is not a bad thing. It's in fact very good. It's a miracle pregnancy. But it's a miracle where the nature of the thing isn't really obvious to the casual observer. God is at work in this. Now, the angel of the Lord called Joseph son of David. I don't know how often Joseph thought of himself in those terms. I don't know. He was a carpenter in a little country town. It can't have seemed very relevant to his life day to day that he was descended from a king from thousands of years ago. Perhaps he should live in a palace, but you know, things are not as they should be. And things had not been as they should be for a very long time. But God called Joseph, son of David. He called him to be part of the royal family, to be a son of David, to be like David, a leader after God's own heart. The angel of the Lord called Joseph, son of David, to a duty. He called him to be part, to do his part in a story that was bigger than his own. Because this child will be a son, someone to carry the family forward. And Joseph has been called to name him. Joseph is to give the child his name. Joseph is to announce that this son is a son of David. The angel of the Lord called on Joseph to call his son Jesus. And Jesus just means the Lord saves. God is at work here. That's what the name means. This awkward pregnancy, this child, this son, this man, is the one who will rescue his people. Jesus' own name is a promise of rescue from sins. God's people knew, just like we all knew, that their failures and their negligence, all of their malice and their evil, their selfishness, their bitterness, all of that was crippling them. It was keeping them from God. They weren't the holy people that they should be. They weren't the glorious kingdom that they should be. They were not the united, loving, blessed family that they should be. They were God's people, but they were kind of cut off from God. Things were not as they should be. And the angel of the Lord called on Joseph to trust God. Now, what did trust in God look like for Joseph? Well, it was going to be public. To declare Mary to be his honored wife, to be the father of this boy, to say, by naming the boy, that the Lord saves. In calling him Jesus, Joseph's really saying, the Lord makes everything as it should be. The Lord has promised that he will rescue us, and I trust what the Lord is saying. What is Joseph going to call this baby? Now, the Bible tells us more about that bigger story that Joseph's been called into. Joseph was told Mary is a virgin who is pregnant, and she will give birth to a son, and you are to name him Jesus. But then we read in the next verses, all this took place to fulfill what the Lord had said through the prophet. The virgin will be with child and will give birth to a son. That all sounds very familiar. And they will call him Emmanuel, which means God with us. Now, the prophet is the prophet Isaiah. And Isaiah was speaking 700 years before Jesus. He made a promise to the kings at the time. And that promise came true in Jesus. So Isaiah was speaking by the Holy Spirit, and then Matthew, writing by the Holy Spirit, says this story, Joseph and Mary and Jesus' story, is the fulfillment of that promise. This is that. Jesus is Emmanuel. Jesus is God with us. So the story of Christmas is not just about a baby in a manger on one night. The story of Christmas is about a signal being given that's been awaited for centuries. It's about the fulfillment of promises that go back to kings and prophets and all the way back to Father Abraham. It's about a promise of blessing for the whole world through the family of Abraham. It's about a plan to set up a good king on David's throne. And yes, it's about a plan to rescue people, not just the Jews, but all of God's people, from how things are not as they should be. So Jesus' birth is like the school bell going off at the end of term. It means freedom, an end to waiting, the start of the holidays. Jesus' birth is like the gun on race day. Jesus' race starts at his birth, but the preparation, God getting ready to be God with us, went for a long time before. Jesus' birth is like the arrival of the flying doctor service at some dusty outback sheep station where we're waiting because we desperately need healing. God with us. That's who Jesus is. And who Jesus is makes him able to do what he came to do. Let me explain what I mean. Things are not as they should be. But if you and I sit down to work things out, what we'll probably find is that we disagree. We can't quite see things clearly, and so when we talk about what's wrong, we'll actually disagree on what's wrong, and we'll disagree on what's wrong with them. And so as we think, oh, yep, this is how this should work, we won't be able to work it out. Volodymyr Zelensky and Vladimir Putin can't even agree on how to spell Vladimir. So what chance have they got, really? But if you put them both in a room, they would both say things are not as they should be. They'd agree on that. But when they say this is how things should be, this is how we get to how things should be, again, there they would disagree. And this tells us two important things. The first thing is that the problem with the world has to do with us. Things are not as they should be, and actually it turns out I'm not as I should be. Things are not as they should be, and nor are you. Which makes it hard for us to restore things. Because any restoration work that needs to happen needs to be done by someone who isn't going to add further mistakes. I don't know if you've ever tried to fix something and just kind of broken it even further. I'm pretty good at that. We need a workman who is able to do it perfectly the first time. What do you think we place such store these days in having the right process and having the right system? And we hope that the algorithms in all of the systems that govern our lives work really well. Well, it's because we don't like human error. And we know not to trust human sin. And so we hope somehow by processes and algorithms we'll remove all of that from the way that things should be. But the second thing that we learn is that if things are ever going to be as they should be, we actually need to know how they should have been in the first place. And again, we can't agree on that because we can't see it clearly. And so we're in no position to restore the world to the way it should be. We need God to show us. We need God to bring the world back to the way it should be. So we need a perfect workman to carry out the work, and we need the architect of reality, and there's only one architect of reality, it's God. We need him to know what he's doing. Now, the angel called him Jesus because of what he was going to do. And Matthew says he's Emmanuel, he's God with us. That's who he is. And who he is, God with us, makes him able to do what he does. He's a man, he's the perfect workman, and he's God. He's the only one who knows how things should be. Jesus is God with us. The world was made through him and for him. He is wholly and completely God. And so he knew what he was doing. But he's God come right up close. God born from Mary. He grew in her body for 9 months. He was born the same way everyone else was born. He was wrapped up in cloth and laid down to sleep. When he was grumpy, he grizzled. When he was hungry, he cried, just like every other baby. He's God come right up close to be with us. He's the perfect man. And so because he's the perfect human, he can do what we need to do. And because he's God, he knows what he's doing. God didn't come to be human to show off or to shame us, to go, look, I'll show you how it's done. Partly he came to say, I'll show you how I do things. I'll show you who I am. And he came as Jesus, he came as one of us to save us from ourselves, to save us from our shame at not doing it right, to save us from guilt, to save us from the fear. Well, the fear that we would rightly feel at the thought that God is going to come near us. Jesus absorbed all the shame and all the guilt and all the fear into himself so that we would be free. And when he frees us, well, then he shows us how to live. Then he gives us, these are the good ways to live. Let me lead you in a life that gives life. Let me lead you in a human life. The life that Jesus lived, a life that we can follow. They will call this baby Emmanuel because Jesus is God with us. Now Joseph heard enough of the story to know that Christmas was a miracle. And he was called to put his trust publicly in God's promise. What did he do with those instructions? Let's have a look at verse 24. When Joseph woke up, he did what the angel of the Lord had commanded him and took Mary home as his wife. But he had no union with her until she gave birth to a son, and he gave him the name Jesus. Now again, notice how closely the words follow what came before, the instruction of the angel. Joseph did as he was told. Joseph chose to trust what God said to him. That's what makes Joseph a model for us. He obeyed because he trusted God. He trusted that God can rescue. He trusted that God would rescue through this baby in particular. He trusted God even though Jesus was medically impossible. He trusted the good news about this baby, that this baby is going to save God's people. Surely Joseph couldn't really see how that was going to happen, but God said it would. So he trusted God. He trusted God even though he wasn't a king and he was really in no position to be raising a crown prince or some kind of great savior rescuer guy. But he trusted God and so he obeyed. Now that means that obeying God is sometimes stranger than we think. If I talk about the obedience that comes from faith, if I talk about obedience, the first thing you probably think of is a long list of laws and rules and do's and don'ts and doctrines and dogmas. But what did obeying God look like for Joseph? God called Joseph by his royal name, and Joseph just had to believe that. God promised him that a miracle had occurred. God called him to bring the miracle into his family. So obedience for Joseph meant marrying his own fiancée. It meant continuing to care for Mary rather than cutting her off quietly. It meant providing for her. It meant not sleeping with her while she was pregnant because he wanted to respect what God was doing through Mary. Obedience meant loving and caring for this son, being a father to the boy who would give meaning and significance to the whole family. Obedience meant publicly declaring that the Lord makes everything as it should be. So what will we call Jesus? Will we call him rescuer? Will we welcome him into our lives as our lives are? Christmas can be a bit of an effort, can't it, to put a brave face on things? Let's try and have a really good Christmas, even though we know that we're not quite up to it. Let's wrap everything up in shiny paper. Let's try and be good, even though our hearts are sore. Will we recognize that Jesus is born to be our friend, that he's with us because we need him? It's because we need Jesus that he came. We don't have to work ourselves up to deserving to be friends with him. He's our friend because he came to help us when we needed him. He's our rescuer. What will we call Jesus? Will we call him King? If he's King, then he's the King that God's people were promised. He's the King who's going to bring blessing to the whole world. He's the King forever who won't fail. He'll always be the good king who won't die. He will always be the good king. And if he's the king of God's kingdom, then that means that his story is the bigger story that Joseph's life fits into. And not just Joseph's, but David's life and Israel's story. And in fact, the whole human race's story fits into Jesus' story if he's the king. Walking down the street, you see a workman, and you say to him, "What are you doing?" And he says, "Well, I'm laying these bricks." And he has a mate next to him, and you say to him, "What are you making?" He says, "Oh, look, I'm making a living." And they've got a third guy with them, and he's humming and working away, very busy, and you say, "What are you doing?" And he looks at you like the answer's obvious, and he says, "I'm building a cathedral. I'm part of this wonderful thing being built. Because of this, God's people are going to gather, they're going to praise him, God will be magnified, it's wonderful. I just love being a part of it." Three men doing the same work, but one of them is caught up in the big story. That's what stories can do. Jesus' kingdom gave shape and meaning to Joseph's life. Jesus is the Christ, the Son of David, the King, and the Rescuer. Jesus' story is the only story that will give shape and meaning to our lives without being the kind of story that then uses you up or crushes the people around you. What will we call Jesus? Will we call him Lord? Because if his story can give shape to my story, that's great, but then I'm not the hero of my story. My story is actually about Jesus, not about me, which means I'm not the boss of my own life. Am I prepared to say that this man has the right to tell me what to do? Will I call him Lord? Will I live to serve him? Will we call Jesus God with us? As we follow him, will we find that, well, his life gives life to us, that the ways that he leads us are wise ways, that he knows things as they should be? Will we find that when we're at our weakest point and our lowest point and our worst point, that Jesus has already been there, that Jesus is still there with us, that he is with us to the very end, as he promised? Will we find, as we follow Jesus, that his Holy Spirit changes us and restores us? Not completely yet, but slowly becoming more and more what we should be. Things are not as they should be. Christmas is a time for some of us where we like to deny that, and let's have a good time regardless, but things are not as they should be. But as the angel said, do not be afraid. Jesus is from the Holy Spirit. He will save his people from their sins. Which means that in the middle of the world being not as it should be, what we call Jesus, how we talk to God today, can open up to us the joy and the peace of Christmas. Merry Christmas.